Well, it's a joy to have been with you this weekend, and me and Olivia are going to be heading back to Portsmouth later tonight, and Stacey's remaining. You're going to have such a powerful morning tomorrow morning. We had some incredible ministry today from Joe and Stacey, and I just want to say again, thanks for loving on us and treating us so well. Love you guys, and so thankful for you. Thankful for our friendship. And just the opportunity to come up and minister stuff that God's put on my heart. My problem is whenever you guys invite me up, it's not what will I preach, it's not what won't I preach. My heart is just like, Lord, but what about this? Lord, what about this? And Lord, what about this? Because there's a draw. You guys have a draw of the things of God. But I want to stay in theme with what the Lord's doing over this weekend. I don't want to break the theme of what God's doing this weekend, because there is a theme. You can feel such a strong feel that it's about faith for life. But I just sense tonight God doesn't want you to have faith for the life you've got, but faith for the life he's promised you. Okay? Because sometimes people have faith for the life they've got, but God says, well, no, have faith for the life I've promised you. If there's any differences between the life that you've got and the one you know the Lord has promised you, the Lord wants you to begin to release faith. And I want to just tonight, my agenda tonight is very simple. I want to lift our faith tonight to believe God for more. As individuals and as a congregation. My agenda, I know what I'm here to do tonight, and that's just to call you. I felt recently, the last couple of weeks, almost like a prophetic mandate to just go around saying it's time for big faith. And it's almost like I'm feeling God say, I'm about to do something. Get them ready. Get them ready. Get them ready. I feel him speaking to my heart. Get ready. I'm about to do something. It almost feels like this is a moment, a pregnant moment of preparation, where God's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. And it's like different places I've gone, and I felt it this afternoon. I felt the Lord prompt me, tell him to be ready. Tell him to be ready. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Tell him to be ready. Tell him to be ready. God, you see, God doesn't want us to miss anything. God doesn't want us to miss anything. But sometimes we're not ready, are we? But what I love about the Lord is he always sends out a message. And what I'm hearing right now is get ready. Get ready. I believe that's for United Kingdom. I believe it's for you as a congregation. I believe it's for you as people. But this is the other thing I've been hearing. I started hearing it at our conference. Our conference is in March, the second weekend of March. And I was on stage preaching at the conference. And all of a sudden, this came out of my mouth. And I thought it was for the conference, but it's really not. It's for this season we're in. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. And it's not many days before I keep hearing, there will be miracles. There will be miracles. And that's not my desire. I believe that's the Lord speaking over his church. There will be miracles. Get ready. There will be miracles. I mean, last week, I couldn't stop singing last week. You know that the song from the Prince of Egypt? I've been walking around, I keep bursting into, there will be miracles when you believe. I just can't stop. It's bursting up. I was actually tempted to talk to our worship team and say, can we sing that on Sunday morning? Because all of a sudden I've stilled myself, I've quieted myself, and it just hits me again. And I'm just like, there will be miracles. There will be miracles. But you know what? It's kind of contagious. You watch. Some of you that like set your heart on being miserable, this is going to ruin it for you. It's going to ruin it. There will be miracles. And that tonight I just want to implant what God's implanted in me. There will be miracles. There will be miracles when you believe. God wants us to begin to be believing believers again. He wants us to begin to realize there will be miracles. There will be miracles. Now, I love the way that different people term it. And Pastor Colin was with us for our conference again this year in Power back in March. And I'm hearing the Lord say to me, there will be miracles. There will be miracles. And then Pastor Colin got up, and as he so wonderfully often does, he articulated it so well. He put it this way, we're coming into the land of promises fulfilled. And I said, Pastor Colin, you did it again. Because that's the same thing. There will be miracles. We're coming in. You see, promises. We don't need any more promises. I don't need any more promises. I don't need any more promises. I'll take them, but I don't need any more promises. I need some promises fulfilled. I don't want to come into the land of promise. I want to come into the land of promise fulfilled. I'm ready to see some promises fulfilled. I've got some in the bank. I've got some ready. I've got some I've been standing on for 20 years. I'm not short of promises. Is anyone else not short of promises? Everyone that's ever prophesied over me gave me promises. When I read the word, I get promises. There's 8,868 in there. I'm not short of promises. I'm ready for some promises fulfilled. I'm ready to come in. See, Joshua didn't come into the land of promise as much as he came into the land of promise done good on. See, when his feet hit that soil, he was taking hold of what had been promised. And I just sense, listen, God's got no favorites. God's ready for anyone that will start believing again. Now, the question is, are we ready to have some promises fulfilled? Or have you given up on God? Are you ready to get some promises fulfilled? I'm ready. I'm ready. Have things that you've not seen worn you out? It's time to let God revive you. Now, I've got promises that are not fulfilled. Anyone else? Pretty much everyone, right? The rest of you need to read your Bible. That's all I've really got to say about that. It's time for promises fulfilled. Now it's time for us to have faith again, to lift our faith, to allow the Lord to revive our faith, to allow the Lord to initiate fresh faith, inspire fresh faith, activate fresh faith. And that's what I really believe the Lord wants to do tonight. Because you see, it's Him who gives faith. It's the Lord who initiates faith. We heard that this morning, didn't we? That the Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one who authors our faith, but He also finishes it. But we're the ones that determine if we're going to grow it. See, to everyone is given faith. There's no one here tonight that's not been given faith. The Lord wouldn't do that. He's initiated and given faith to everyone. But like muscle tissue, different people do different things with what they've been given. Everyone's been given muscle tissue. Some people sit on a couch and eat crisps. Other people go to the gym. What you do with the muscle tissue or capability you've been given, that's your choice, but don't say you weren't given muscle. And it's similar with faith. What you choose to do with your faith, whether you want to leave it as it was when you got given it, or whether you want to grow it, revive it, let it get wild. The Lord lets us determine that. I've made up my decision. I want my faith to be out of control. I want it to be bigger than it's ever been. I want to be believing more than I've ever believed. So the question really is, if we're standing on the land of promises fulfilled, if the Lord is speaking over, and surely you sense this in your heart. It's not just me, right? This is just such an interesting time we're living in. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Are we ready to cross in to the land of promises fulfilled? Despite the disappointments we may have experienced. Come on, we've all experienced them, haven't we? Come on, by now we've all believed the Lord for something, haven't we? And it didn't quite turn out like we thought, haven't we? We were all, you know, does that encourage you to know I'm in that mix too? Are we ready to look beyond the delays we may have known when we believed the Lord for something and it didn't happen as quick as what we thought? Are we ready to believe again in spite of any confusions of things that may have happened? Are we ready to say, Lord, any disappointment, any delay, anything, Lord, but I don't quite get, I'm ready to park that and believe you again to do the things you said you would do. So I'm sensing that we're in what I call the moment before. Now, before any miracle in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Now Testament, there's always a moment before. Now, so often when we're reading the Bible, we get straight to the miracle. And we miss the moment before. There's always a moment before a miracle. What we do in that moment, the attitudes we have in that moment, the way we behave, the capacity we develop in that moment can be really key to what we experience when the miracle happens. I'm speaking over you tonight, what I feel the Lord speaking over to me, that there will be miracles. We're in the moment before. This is an important moment. When we read the Bible, we witness people's behavior in the moment before. And if we don't learn, we're fools, right? But remember, we learn things like obedience of people in the moment before. You know, we shared this morning about Achan. But in the moment before they crossed into the promised land, when the Lord had given the command to Joshua, get the people ready for 3 days, you're going in. It's amazing that Achan's behavior in that moment wasn't fitting what God was doing. And before miracles in the Bible, you always see people acting obediently or disobediently in the moment before. Having faith in the moment before, not having faith. Now, there's two accounts I want to mention tonight, but I just sense a relative for moment before moments. The first one is that classic story in 2 Kings 13 about the king striking the arrows. Because this is what I'm hearing in my heart. Strike the arrows. Strike the arrows. But we're tired. Strike the arrows. But it's been a long battle. Strike the arrows. Strike the arrows. But we've been waiting. Strike. God's not asking how you feel. He's saying, strike the arrows. And the faith you release with what you're doing with the arrows in your hand will determine the size of the victory you're going to get. Now, this is an interesting account. It's in 2 Kings chapter 13. And Elisha, it says in verse 14, was suffering from an illness from which he would later die. And the king comes to him, and again, just to save time, you know this storyline. He says, get a bow. Elisha says to him, get a bow and some arrows. And he did. He said, take the bow in your hands. He said to the king of Israel, he said, get this. He said, when it had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, open his window, he said. He opened it, shoot. But then something unusual happens. In verse 18, he says, right, now take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. Strike the ground. And he struck the ground 3 times. So he did what the king had told, the prophet had told him to do. He struck the ground 3 times, but then he stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. And said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated the enemy completely and destroyed it. But now you're only going to destroy it 3 times. Now this is interesting because the guy hit the ground with the arrows. But he didn't hit it with the expectation or the passion of what God was capable to do in this moment. Again, I don't want to judge the king. I wasn't there. Maybe he was tired. Maybe the battle had been going on a long time. Maybe he was weary. I don't know what made him do it, but he was in this moment before God was going to do something. In the heart of God was total annihilation of the enemy. But all he ended up with was a few good wins. What do you want? I want total annihilation of the enemy. So tonight, I mean, we can judge him, and I'm not going to do it too much on there because it will shatter. But tonight, if you've got arrows in your hands, what are you doing with them? What if I'm not lying tonight and we're standing in the moment before God's going to bring people in to the land of promises fulfilled? What if tonight this isn't just a nice message and Andy's actually hearing God and prophetically hearing the Lord saying, I'm about to move. I'm about to do good on promises. I'm about to do some things. I'm about to bring some victories to people's lives. But tell them to get ready, Andy. Tell them to get ready. Tell them to begin to release their faith. Tell them to begin to bash the arrows of expectancy. Tell them to begin to bash the arrows determining what they want from me. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do? Because you see, the king missed that moment. And it was powder cake, baker's man. And it must have been quite pathetic because the prophet got irritated. Now remember, he's on his deathbed. He wouldn't have been irritated about little things, trivial. This had irritated him. He said, why did you do that? You hit your arrows on the floor like you were told, but it was pathetic. It was weary. There was no faith in that. What are you going to do tonight? What if you're standing on the edge of that miracle? What if you're moments away from that battle that God's going to give you victory in? What if that child's just about to return? What if that person you've been praying for is just moments away from changing? What if that sickness on your body is just about to receive an attack from heaven to remove it? Where's your faith tonight? Are you believing that he's a God of miracles? Are you believing he just heals the odd broken toenail? Are you believing that he can heal cancer? Are you believing that he's a God that can do anything? Are you believing tonight that nothing is impossible? Your situation, that thing you're believing for, is not too difficult for God. Nothing's too difficult for God. You see, God can do anything. He's unrivaled. What if we're in the moment before and God's saying to you and me, strike your arrows. Man, I want to make sure I hit those arrows in my head. I've got some promises. They're big ones. I've got some battles. They're big ones. What are you doing with the arrows in your hand? And then so many stories in 2 Kings. The other one I want to grab out is the one in 2 Kings 4:3 with the little lady who'd been married to the prophet. Because this is a key moment. And everything she experienced was set by what she believed for. Now, we know of this little lady that she'd been married to a prophet and the prophet died. And she comes and she said, listen, prophet, my husband was one of you. My husband worked for you guys. And now he's dead. And we got debts in our life. He said, they're coming, you know the story, you don't need me to turn to the chapter. They're coming to take away my boys. They're coming to take Ronnie and Reggie. They weren't coming to take away her plasma screen. They were coming to take her children. There was debt in her life that was so big they were going to take her children. So not only would they take her children, that's horrible, but they take away her future. Because her future provision was in those children. But when they took the children, she'd be left alone, unable to have anyone help her. This was a big moment. And what's the prophet say? Something very annoying. What you got in the house? And she's like, oh, come on. I've got nothing. I've told you. The bailiffs are coming. The big guys are coming. They're coming for Ronnie and Reggie. I've got nothing. I've got absolutely nothing here. And the prophet carries on because he's here in heaven. Yeah, but what have you got in the house? You see, it may seem little to you, but you'd be amazed what happens to little things when they come in the hands of an unstoppable God. Little things become big real quick. And eventually the prophet is relentless. What you got? 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 I've got nothing. What you got? I've got nothing. And then she says, oh, all right, I've got this little pot of oil. But what use is that? He said, that'll do nicely. Now listen to what happens next, because this is what I'm really sensing the Lord speaking to me, to us, for the church in England. He said, right, I want you to go and gather vessels. Go and get containers. And when you've got what you think is enough, come back. And I want you then to shut the door and we'll take it from there. And so she turns to Ronnie and Reggie. She says, boys, do what he's telling you. Go and get vessels. So Ronnie and Reggie go down the street and they go to Mary at number 73 and said, can we borrow some buckets? Can we get some buckets off you? Thank you, Mary. They go to Harry at number 22 and Harry, we need some buckets. You got anything that can hold water? Thanks, Harry. And they're bringing it all back and the prophet's just standing there because he knows what's going on, but he can't say anything, you see. And he's watching and they're bringing in the little buckets and everything. And eventually Ronnie and Reggie are standing by Mum and he says, you done? You sure? You got enough? This is what, you're all happy. Everybody happy, right? Now shut the door. Shut the door. Now it's key for you to understand. God wasn't going to do anything more than what was the capacity in that room. When the miracle came, what they'd prepared for was what they were going to get. The capacity they'd made available, God wasn't determining how much. God wasn't limiting anyone. And so the prophet gets the oil, he says, give it to me. And he gets the oil and he begins to pour it. And again, my imagination gets out of control sometimes. I'm like, why do we think it just kind of dribbled out? You know, imagine if it was coming out like a fire hydrant. That would be super, wouldn't it? He's holding this little pot and it's coming out. It's like, yeah, that only God could do that. You know, we drop. Well, who knows? And she starts to fill the buckets and she's like, that one's filled. And she's getting excited. She's like, you know, we've already filled two buckets and I don't know where this is coming, but bring me another bucket. That's what, bring me another bucket. And they're filling every bucket. He's saying, come on, Reggie, bring me another bucket. Ronnie, bring me another bucket. Bring me another bucket. And all of a sudden she says, bring me another bucket. There are no more, Mum. Mum, we got no more buckets. And at that moment, it stopped. Now, don't get me wrong, it was a big miracle. Apparently, the oil that she'd received cleared every debt. They no longer took her sons away. God was good. She had enough to live on for a bit. Now, come on, let's be real for a moment. There must have been one night when she was laying in bed. Come on. She was like us, right? There must have been one night, maybe it's just me, but there must have been one night when she was alone and she was laying in bed and she was thinking about, there must have been one night when she's laying there and then all of a sudden it came, that thought. What if? Now she wasn't ungrateful, she was thankful, but she knew the thought would come and it can't. What if? Because that's a big question. It's a real question. What if we'd got more containers? What if I'd enlarged the capacity? Would the oil have kept pouring? Yeah, God said bring the vessels. You determine the capacity of what you think God's going to do. But when you shut the door, realize there's no suddenly changing things halfway through the moment you're coming into the miracle. You're going to get what you believed for. So to me, if I'm laying in bed, I'm again, I have to think that other people have imaginations too. I'd be like, if I had that moment again, what would I do? I know what I'd do. I'd say, Reggie, ring the skip company. Yeah. I mean, maybe this is just me. Hello, is that WeDeliverSkipsAnywhere.com? Yeah. How many you got? 24. I'll have a lot. Bring all those skips. Reggie, talk to the next door neighbour. Say we're going to put them on his lawn, but we'll do good on his lawn when this is over. Put them anywhere. 24. You heard me. 24 skips. I want them now, please. I've got a door to shut, and I want those here before we shut the door. Thank you. Oil tankers. Oil tankers. Not that they had them in Israel, but they must have had camel equivalents. I don't know what they were. Oil tanker. How many you got? You got four. Send them right now. Back them in, Reggie. Come on, Ronnie. Bring them in. I know I'm causing chaos in the neighborhood. But you see, I'm living in the knowledge of what I've experienced. But I'm not living in the faith. I'm the other side of the door shut. And though the miracle was awesome, I can't change the capacity now. I've got what I was believing for. Come on, God wants you to stretch your capacity tonight. I want you to stretch your capacity. I feel him talking to me every day. Stretch your capacity. Believe bigger. Believe bigger. It's not enough. Come on. When the oil starts pouring, when I begin to give you the miracles you've been believing for, are you going to turn there and say, what if? Come on, this is time to get carried away. Well, where's the verse and Bible for that? Ephesians 3:20, unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above what I can imagine or dream in my wildest dreams. Come on, are we trying to bring God down to fulfill what we want? Or are we saying, God, no more. You can do more. You can do more, God. You can do more. You can do more. What's that miracle in your life tonight? Come on, begin to release your faith. Begin to believe again. I know you may be tired. I know it may have been a long journey. I know you may feel worn out, but my friend, this is time to bang the arrows. It's time to enlarge your capacity. It's time. Come on, think of Jesus in the Gospels. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? How would you answer that? What would be your answer? If you were the blind man, would you say, oh, give us a new stick. Give us a new stick. A new stick would be nice. When God says, you can have a new stick, but I was going to heal your eyes. I was going to heal your eyes. You can have a new stick, but I was going to heal your eyes. Are you settling for too much if it's too less? Are you believing? I want you to get carried away. Oh, you're talking about extreme faith. Well, what's the option? And I'll tell you. I want everything that God's doing. Come on. The Bible reveals God as he is. Now, when we look at the way, remember, don't let your revelation of God be according to other people's opinions of him. Your revelation of God must be according to how he reveals himself in his word and in his son. Now, I know our people that are living and serving someone else's God, and they've never made him their own. He's never become their El Shaddai. You've got to let God reveal to you who he is in his word and through his son. And what I see when I'm reading the Bible is very clear. It says that Father God is a God who always responds to faith. Right? Again, I know your pastors have taught on this, so I'm not even going to try and treat you like you've not heard this before. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, you can't please him. You can't please him. Come on, without faith, you can't please him. You can't please him. When he returns, Luke 18, will he find faith? When he returns, will he find people believing, trusting him for impossible things? Come on, it's not something that we're meant to experience in a couple of moments in our life. The Bible says again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we walk by faith and not by sight or other senses that determine what's possible. Come on, we've got to move from sense-driven faith to revelation faith. Our faith can't be based on physical things we've seen. One of the greatest preachers on faith I know is Kenyon, E.W. Kenyon. And boy, when he begins to teach on the difference between sense faith and revelation faith, it's like he's insulting the disciples. He says, oh, the disciples, they didn't have faith because everything they believed for, they saw. But yet Jesus said, blessed are those who haven't seen and believe. Now, come on, don't get insulted for the disciples. They had Jesus walking with them. They saw the bread. They saw the miracles. Yet they still had trouble believing when he said he was going to do something. I mean, what about Thomas? I will not believe lest he come and I put my hand in the wound. And he turns, he says, go on then. But your faith is based on senses and not much more. Blessed are those. That's us. Who haven't sinned. But are trusting and believing with no evidence. With no physical Jesus, with not watching the miracle with the 5,000, not being there when they walked. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe simply because they trust my word. They trust my word. My word and promise to them is certain and sure that it will take place. Come on, this is what I sense the Lord saying. Now, God doesn't want us to have some of his difficult faith that doesn't work. He wants us to have childlike faith. You know, some of the best faith preachers in my life are my children. They taught me what it is to believe and have no wavering doubt. Every Christmas, all five of them. They go to bed, and they're never like in bed, will we have presents? Will we have presents? I hope there's presents. No. No, they come down in the morning. I've never seen them walking down the stairs. I've never seen them walking down the stairs. Oh, there's presents. Oh, what a beautiful. They're just like, they walk down. Oh, yeah, presents. I'm like, oh, you have great faith in me. God wants us to have childlike faith. Now, when I'm saying grow your faith, I'm not saying get difficult. I'm saying, come on, let's get childlike faith. Let's restore some of the foundations of faith in our life. Let's begin to again listen to the confession of our heart and the confession of our mouth. Come on, let's go back to what faith is. Because when the oil begins to pour, I don't want to be saying I didn't have enough vessels. I don't want to be saying, why didn't I bash the arrows more? We're standing on the edge of something. We're on the edge. Why now? I don't know. But we're standing on the edge. I believe where we're going to see miracles. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see miracles. There will be miracles. For individuals, there will be miracles. For churches, there will be miracles. There's going to be physical miracles. There's going to be financial miracles. Buildings are going to be released that people have tried to get for years. Family members are going to begin to get saved. That said they would. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Long-term sicknesses that never seem to leave are going to leave. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Financial miracles. Health miracles. There will be miracles. What am I hearing in my heart? There will be miracles. There will be. That's not a vain hope. Listen, I've given up with hope. Hope's a lesser message to faith. God doesn't want us having hope. He wants us to have faith. Hope is in hopefully something happening one day. Faith is I take hold of it now. I take hold of it now. God doesn't want to say, no, I hope it happens. No. He wants it will happen. Why? Because I have a promise that it's going to happen. If I have the promise, I have God. If I have the promise, I have God. If I have his word, I have him. He's spoken over this situation. Come on, this is the time for us to dust off our faith and begin to put back into action some of the early disciplines we learned. You know where I've been living this week? Deuteronomy 28. I'm back there and loving every minute of it. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. All these things will come upon those who are obedient. I'm in the obedient one. I'm in the obedient one. It says I'm going to be blessed in the city. Oh, he's one of those prosperity preachers. Again, what's the option? Tell me what you want. If you want me to be a poverty preacher, you're on your own, Jack. I'm believing. I got things I need to do. If I got a little, I can do a little. If I got a lot, there's a whole lot I can do. There's no greed in me. I need finances for what I'm going to do. But the Bible says I am blessed. Hey, cursed is the one who hung on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us. Hey, the blessing. What's the blessings of Abraham? Deuteronomy 28. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the village. Come on. Let's get these things out. Let's begin to believe again. Let's begin to believe. You know, my dog's blessed because that's the only livestock I've got. My kneading bowl, that means my bread machine's not going to break down. It just keeps getting better and better. I'm the top and not the tail. Do you know what I'm walking around saying? I'm not the borrower, I'm the lender. Oh, my mortgage must be about to be paid off supernaturally. Because as long as I've got a mortgage, I'm a borrower. And God said, I'm not a borrower, I'm a lender. I'm not a borrower and I'm not a taker. I'm a lender and I'm a giver. So there must be a miracle coming where I'm not going to have a mortgage anymore. Just keeps getting better, doesn't it? I'm the top, I'm not the tail. I'm blessed coming in, I'm going out. I just can't stop walking through doors. Didn't say where. I want to spend an hour this week just coming in and going out. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed. Oh, you're just eccentric. Yeah, watch my life and get jealous when you see what God does. Come on, he's saying, get the vessels, get ready. Don't let disappointment make you miss out. Don't let delusion make you miss out. Don't let time delays you've experienced stop you believing in this moment. Listen, let's put this in the words of C.S. Lewis, shall we? Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Come on, Aslan is on the move. I hear the sound of lion's feet. Oh, the Snow Queen is shivering. She's getting scared. I don't know why now. I don't know why, but I know Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Come on, I'm preaching my heart out, but I can feel faith lifting right now. Only believe all things are possible to those who believe. Can you do this? Can I? All things, not some things. Everything you ask in prayer. Do you know the word ask? They couldn't handle the true definition. It's actually demand. Not like a spoiled child before the Father. To whatever is your lack or that which you demand, mountain move. It doesn't say, ask the mountain and it'll move. Excuse me, Mr. Mountain. Mr. Mountain, would you be so good? No, ain't nothing British about this. It says, when you speak to the mountain, the things you ask, you move now. Aslan is on the move. Come on, can't you feel it? That's all I can describe of how I'm feeling at the moment. I wake up and I'm excited for no reason. I wake up and I'm like, why am I so excited? Because Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Aslan is on. What in your situation? Now, some of you are really trying not to enjoy this tonight. I'm sorry. It'll get you in your sleep, and I'll release my faith for that. I will. Come on, Aslan is on the move. What are you doing with the arrows in your hand? Now, I know I'm going over things, but I'm doing it deliberately. I'm repetitive. What are you doing with the arrows in your hand? Come on, what do you want to see God do in that battle tomorrow? What do you want him to do? Do you want just a three-part win, or do you want an annihilation? Come on, do you want a three-part win? Do you want to say, well, that won the bad battle, that's fair, or do you want to say, my God has annihilated the enemy? Oh, he
is annihilated. Come on, let your faith out tonight. Come on, believe. Someone believe tonight. Someone believe tonight. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Come on, in your heart tonight, begin to bash your arrows. Come on, begin to bash your arrows tonight. I believe. There can be miracles when Aslan is on the move. Come on, Reggie. Bring the bowls in. Come on, someone begin to praise him right now. Someone begin to praise him right now. Someone begin to praise him right now. Let faith be revived in this place. Let the people of faith rise up with revived, fresh faith. Let weariness be gone. Let unbelief be broken. Let unbelief be broken. Let believers begin to believe again. Every eye closed, every hand lifted right now. Let believers begin to believe again. Let believers begin to believe again. Let believers begin to believe again. The Bible says you're a believer. It calls you a believer. It doesn't call you a Christian. It calls you a believer. It calls you a believer. What do believers do? They believe. Come on. Only believe. All things are possible. Come on, in your heart, I want you to see yourself bashing arrows tonight. Bashing arrows. Lord, there's no patter cake, baker's man here. You're going to do this because you said you would, Father. You promised me. I've got a promise. And you are not a liar, God. You are not a liar, God. You are true to your word, Lord. I've got a promise for this thing. Holy Spirit, just begin to revive faith right now. Holy Spirit, begin to revive faith right now. Let him just do it. Let him begin to revive faith. There will be miracles. There will be miracles. Faith arise. Faith arise. In those who are weary because of the length of the battle, let fresh faith arise. Let those who have been believing yet waning because of the length of the night, let faith arise. Let every person with a need, no matter what it is, financial or physical, let faith arise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Right now, minister to your people, Lord. Minister to your people, God. Lord, I preached my heart out like I believe you told me to, God. I came in like a lunatic, God. That's what you asked me to do. Now it's yours, Holy Spirit. The people will believe in Holy Spirit. The people will believe in you, Holy Spirit. The people are believing you again, Father. The people have taken their faith to another level, Lord. Meet them in this place, Lord God. Meet them. Meet them. Let even miracles break out tonight, Lord. Let miracles break out in bodies tonight. As people reach out, not to any man, but to you, the eternal God, to whom nothing's impossible. Lord, as they stand upon your word, I see people opening cupboards under the stairs and getting promises out, boxes out. And they're dusting them off and they're saying, he gave me this promise in 1994. He gave me this promise in 2010. And I just see people getting the promises out from under the stairs and brushing them off. Only believe. There will be miracles. I speak that over your life. There will be miracles. There will be miracles in your life and in my life. There will be miracles. We're entering into the land of promises fulfilled. Begin to dream again. Begin to dream again. Begin to dream again. Come on, let's get our faith active. Let the confession of our heart and the confession of our mouth be the same. Let us believe in our heart and confess with our mouth and see every mountain that stands in our way moved. It's time for God to do miracles in people's lives. He's bringing people into a land of promise right now. He's actually showing pictures to people now of things that you stopped believing for. He's showing pictures right now of things you stopped believing for. He never stopped believing for those miracles. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
We love you, Lord. Father, let fresh faith arise in the hearts of your people. Come on, just put your eyes on him tonight. High above all things. Nothing's impossible for him. He speaks and things come into being. That's our God. Come on, let's get that old faith back out the cupboard. You know, the last 2 weeks I've been making sure, I've been watching again my confession. I've said, Lord, I'm not letting anything out of my mouth that disqualifies what's in my heart. Boy, sometimes I've had to bite my lip and the Holy Ghost has held my lips for me sometimes as well. I'm sure he has. But I'm not, no, not now, not now. I'm not going to lay in the bed of what ifs. Holy Spirit, have your way tonight. Thank you for a fresh release of the gifts, Holy Spirit, that you bring. Lord, we thank you for faith in this church. I just want to also speak in this church an all-in mentality. All in. Everybody in for what God's doing. Everybody in. All in. No spectators. All in. For what God's going to do for you next. All in. All in. All in. All in. Right now, if you've segregated God in your life, unsegregate him right now. Unsegregate him. Let him be your life. Don't let him be a section of your life. Right now, if you, I had this afternoon, someone may have segregated God and you say, well, that's the God bit of my life. No God bit of your life. God is your life. God is your life. God is your life. The church is your faith community. You are them and they are you. Come on. Come on. All in. All in. All in. All in. If you could see what's just around the corner, you would run like you've never run. So, Father, we thank you tonight that you've revived faith in us.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.